experience because the people around him thought there was something wrong with him. They could hear some noise, but they couldn't hear what was going on. They didn't see the light. They just knew this was for Saul. Now, can you imagine? It'd be a life-changing experience, wouldn't it? It'd be a life-changing experience. You know, Jesus was working in Saul's life. There are two different time periods that we see Jesus working in Saul's life to save him. And I want you to see, and the same is true with us. First, Jesus had worked before Saul even began to persecute the church by his ministry here on earth. Jesus had already worked by going around teaching and preaching and healing and baptizing. But his ultimate work was dying on the cross. Jesus paid for Saul's sins before he ever talked to him. And the same thing's true with you and me. Before you were born, Jesus went to the cross for you. Think about that. Before you even existed, Jesus died for you. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Jesus began to work on salvation before you were even thought about. So, Jesus paid the price for Saul's sin. And Jesus paid the price for my sin. And Jesus paid the price for your sin. He died on the cross for each and every one of us so that we could have an opportunity for that personal relationship. Jesus was still working in Saul's life, not just from the cross. He told him to go to Damascus and wait. And Jesus spoke to a believer named Ananias who would come and minister to Saul. Ananias obeyed. How many of us would be willing to do that? Would you be willing to go up to the guy who's going to kill you for your faith and say, hey, you need to be a Christian? You know he's going to kill you. No, we won't even tell our coworkers we're Christians because we're afraid they'll think bad of us. We won't go to a restaurant and be seen blessing our food in public because somebody might look at us funny. Yet Ananias was obedient enough to go to Saul and say, hey, you need to be a Christian. Think about that. I'm telling you, being a Christian is a lot more than just coming to church on Sunday. You know, he died on the cross for us, and Ananias understood that, and he obeyed the Lord and went to the murderer of Christians and found him blind and humble and ready. And how many opportunities are we missing because we're not willing? Saul, the persecutor of Christians, a Pharisee of Pharisees, the Roman citizen from Tarsus, came to believe and accept Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Because Ananias went, not because of the Damascus Road, not because of the bright light. He came to believe because this guy had enough guts to come. Somebody had to come tell him the rest, right? Jesus said, wait. He didn't become a Christian on the Damascus Road. He was still thinking about it. So Jesus worked in Saul's life in two ways. First was his ministry here on earth and his sacrifice on a cross. And without that, we have no salvation, no way to gain forgiveness. And the second way was bringing people into Saul's life to minister to him and to explain the gospel. Do you know that same thing happened to you and me? Did you have somebody who had the guts to tell you about Jesus? He worked in our lives before we were even born. But he also works now. He brings people into our lives to share about Jesus. Maybe it was a family member, a co-worker, or a preacher. Or maybe you heard a sermon at church or on the radio that moved you. Maybe you read a book that had a little bit about Jesus in it. And it kind of turned you a little bit. Somehow you found out about Jesus. And you were convinced that he was the truth. And you place your faith in him. That was Jesus working in your life. And we're called to be those people. So that people see Jesus in us. But it gets even harder. Because then there's this thing called obedience. You've got to obey. Well, we hate that word, don't we? What do you mean I got to obey? You know, I love to do weddings. But I don't put that in there anymore. I actually said it one time, and somebody in the audience said, "You don't want to do that." I do put it in there if they ask me to. I give them the option. Because it ain't worth the fight. But you think about it. You must obey. Let's see what he says in 17 and 19. When Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, regained his strength. Jesus told his disciples a lot of things when he was with him. He did. But the biggest thing he said was in John, where he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands obeys them, and he is the one who loves me." If you can't obey what he says, then you can't love him. How do you think I managed to stay married for 28 years? Leslie's downstairs with the teenagers. I can say that. Next week I won't say that. She'll be back up here. We'll edit that. So. But, you know, Jesus, in the same occasion, when he's talking about obedience, he said this in John 14:6. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That's real truth. There's no other way to heaven except through him. But you got to obey his commands if you truly love him. If you truly love him, you will be obedient. What Jesus is trying to say in these verses, and the countless other ones like them in the New Testament, is very simple. And I'm going to put it as simple as I can, because it's meant to be a simple message. I believe too often we make the Bible too hard. If you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will follow and obey him in all his commands. It's a very simple statement. If you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will follow and obey him in all his commands. When you commit your life to Jesus by placing faith in him, a transformation takes place inside you. You become a new creation that serves God. How many of you got that on your refrigerator? In a magnet or on the wall somewhere, therefore you're a new creation? But the only thing I create off my refrigerator is the food out there into my belly. That's the transformation that happens. And it's been transforming me for almost 50 years. But I should be transformed by the love of the Holy Spirit, changing me and making me more like Jesus every day. You cannot be a Christian and same as you were before. If not, you need to look back and see whether or not you have submitted yourself to Jesus. Because if you're still the same, then there's something wrong. Christianity is about transformation. Transformation into something good that represents our Savior. You know, we see this all the time. People come forward. They make this dramatic experience, and they're going to be Christians, and then I never see them again. Because they realize that they have to give up the world to be a Christian. And what they did was make a half-hearted attempt to become a Christian. You know, you see, when you commit yourself to Jesus, there's a difference. And what did Saul do? He's sitting here in the dark because the experience of Damascus Road left him totally blind. He was this way for 3 days, and he fasted, he prayed, he stayed in the house of a Christian, who I'm sure mentioned Jesus a lot, probably with a lot of fear. And I'm sure his host did tell him some. And then 3 days he waited, and Ananias comes to him and prayed over him, and he was healed. And I want you to look and see what he did. He got up and he was baptized. Did you catch that? We had a young man baptized at 8:30 service this morning, 13 years old. You know, it was a wonderful thing. His grandfather baptized him. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and that's what it's about. But he was obedient to baptism. And the rest of the book of Acts and more than half of the books of the New Testament are proof that Paul obeyed, and he meant it. How do you know you're saved? That's the question, isn't it? Isn't it where we started? We've looked at the conversion of the Apostle Paul to help us with the answer. I look at Apostle Paul and I see somebody just like you and me. He was just a man. And he was a sinner. And he found himself powerless to change his standing with God. He was powerless and blind. And we walk through this world powerless and blind to the trouble that Satan puts in front of us. We need Romans 5:6. Paul wrote, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." And that's what it's all about. He died because we needed it. Saul needed Jesus. Saul came to Jesus with humbleness and confessed his sin and accepted Jesus for who he is and what he did. He obeyed Jesus and was baptized, and after that he remained faithful for the rest of the days of his life. How do you know you are saved? How can you know you're saved? Well, there are a certain way you can know. You can be certain of your standing in God by to face three questions. Three simple questions to ask yourself. And if you can answer honestly with a yes, you can be sure of your salvation. And here they are. Have you confessed Jesus as Lord and asked Him to forgive you? Do you know who you are? Have you been baptized and repented and allowed Jesus to work in your life? Have you remained faithful in obedience and faithfulness? Can you answer yes to all of those? Then you're saved. If you haven't, then today's the day when you start checking the boxes. You say, "Yes, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life. Yes, I will be baptized and repent. Yes, I will receive the Holy Spirit and be faithful until death." But you have to choose it. You have to choose your salvation. Jesus did all the work on the cross. You just have to choose to accept it and live it. What will you choose today? Are we going to choose the world? Or are we going to choose Jesus? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We're thankful for the example of Saul who became Paul. And Lord, I know that our pride gets in the way all too often. Help us to become humble. And if someone here today doesn't know that they're saved, may they choose you. May they choose you and walk out of here with the assurance of knowing that if they die, they're going to heaven. Will you convict them that they need you? Because without the work that Jesus did for us, we have no hope. We thank you in His name. Amen. You know, it's true, we are at this time of invitation that I offer every week. It's an opportunity for you to come forward, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. But you have to choose it. One of the hardest things I ever did was admit that I needed Jesus. To admit that I can't do this on my own. It was hard for me because I am stubborn. But when I did, and I finally humbly came to Jesus, He changed me. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. That's what it's about, you know. It's not about you being perfect or losing control. It's about you submitting and being loved. You are so loved by Jesus that he was willing to die and suffer on the cross before you were even born for you. You've been loved all along, but you have to choose it. You have to choose Jesus. Without it, there's no hope. And we at Woodstock Christian Church want to help you understand that Jesus loved you that much, that he was willing to die for you, and that that love carries on. As soon as you make that decision. So if you've got to choose today, then do it. Choose Jesus. If you've chosen Jesus years ago and you found yourself wandering back, rededicate your life. Sometimes we've got to do that too. But don't walk out of here today without choosing him as we stand and sing.
And give it to Dennis so you don't have to listen to me anymore. But thank you guys for coming out today.
Today. Have a seat for just a second. I wanted to share some announcements with you. You should have received in your email this week the monthly newsletter. Hopefully you are opening those and reading those, because there is just a powerful lot of information there that you need in order to function as the body of Christ here at Woodstock Christian Church. So if you haven't done that, go back and dig it out of your junk pile or your deleted folder or wherever your stuff goes, and read it. How about that? First thing I want to bring your attention to is that during the month of October, we're celebrating our Ministry Staff Appreciation Month. There are bags out in the front foyer out there that if you'd like to give a gift to one of our staff members, we appreciate them. We appreciate what they do for us as a congregation, for adults and children and youth, everybody, all ages. I just can't say thank you enough for what they do. And this is an opportunity through the month of October for you to say thank you to them as well. You might want to give them a gift card, write them a note, send them a card to Chick-fil-A or an airline ticket to Aruba if that's what you want to do. I don't care. But do something nice for the staff. The second thing that I want to call your attention to, third thing. Trunk or Treat. If you haven't signed up your car or your vehicle for Trunk or Treat yet, there's still opportunity for that. There's a list out at the welcome desk in the front, so stop there. Sign up if you have not done that already. There are also tubs at each of the doors that even if you don't sign up your car, you can drop off some candy. You know, chocolate is everybody's best friend, so please help out in that way. We also support the bread ministry at Emory University. Every month, ladies in our church bake cookies, or they buy cookies at Sam's Club or someplace like that, and we bag those up and send them to the campus ministry at Emory University. They appreciate that. They have an amazing ministry there. And this is an opportunity for you to help contribute to hungry college kids.
Doesn't have so, to just be ladies
baking
cookies.
I bake cookies. Actually, I buy my cookies at Sam's Club, so I got to tell the truth there. So bring 36 or more. Just bag them up. You don't have to separate them out. And leave them in room 104, I believe it is, next Sunday. And they'll come and pick those up on Tuesday and deliver them to the campus ministry. Also, another thing that I need to call your attention to is we're starting a new group called Silver and Spice. Not Sugar and Spice. That sounds like a porn site. But Silver and Spice. Yeah, I got your attention there, didn't I? We're having a wiener roast. That sounds kind of, I don't know. We're having a wiener roast on September the 22nd at 6 p.m. It's an opportunity for us graybeards, whatever you want to call us, to get together and to... October, yes, whatever month I said. It's October the 22nd. It's a Saturday evening. It's at 6 p.m. It's at the fire pit. The Boy Scouts reworked our fire pit, so it's nice. Sam provides wood for us, but he doesn't haul it, so we will have that on the 6th. And there's a sign-up for that if you look in the newsletter. And the final thing is Thanksgiving. And why am I talking about Thanksgiving on the first Sunday in October? It's because we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving basically a month from today. So it'll be on the 6th of November, Sunday, 5 to 7 p.m., down in the Fellowship Hall. And Donna Schreiber has a menu prepared for that, and we need you to sign up items to help fill that menu, and we want to serve about 175 people. So we'll be set up here to eat. There will be lots of good things, turkey and all the trimmings and all of those good things. And we just want you to come and participate in that and bring lots of good food. The other thing about all that, this is not just about staying busy. It is about being busy, but it's about being busy for God. And it's an opportunity to invite your friend, your families, your neighbors to come and experience Woodstock Christian Church. So we're going to go away from this place full of the love of God this morning. We're going to go be the church to our friends and our neighbors and our family, as difficult as that might be. And let's pray. Stand up, would you please? Thank you, Lord God, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your presence here with us, for the opportunity to share your love and goodwill with our neighbors. Father, if there's that person outside of Christ this morning that needs you, we pray that they'll reach out to you and that you'll hear their cries. We pray, Father, that you will bless us as we go forward, as we go out these doors, and the light of Christ radiates through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.
Enough.